Do you know what? I just sat here absolutely stunned. I because the Revelation singers have just sung the theme of my message this morning. I've written right through my message notes. They used to be on small pages, but now my eyes have got worse, you know, they're on large pages. But at every point it's be like Jesus. Second point, be like Jesus. Third point, be like Jesus. And then they get up and sing to be like Jesus. God's got something to say to us this weekend, my dear friends. Have you come hungry to hear God? I know it's great to get away from the kids and somebody else cook. I always say a piece of toast, somebody else butters tastes marvelous, doesn't it? But you know, in the end, we've come away this weekend to just take time to listen to God. And I'm just asking Him to say something new to my heart this weekend. You know, that's one of the delicious things about being a Christian, is that you never get to the end. Even when you're old as me, there's more. And that's wonderful. I can remember when I was a teenager in the church and feeling very enthusiastic about the things of the Lord and looking around at some of the older people that looked so bored and pretty boring too, I guess. And I can remember thinking, Lord, does it have to be like that when you get old? You are the same, Lord. Why does it look so different to them, to the way I feel? And I'm just so thrilled to find that it doesn't have to be any different. In fact, it's better. So however far you've gone along the road today, let me say to you with full assurance, there's more. And God's got something more for you. So let's really come with hungry hearts and reach out to the Lord and ask Him for something new today. Shall we? Let's just pray again. Father, speak to us. Please, Lord. We're hungry to know more of You. Amen. You know, as I listened to the news this week, and I'm sure you watched the television news as I did, certainly one of the overwhelming messages for God's people today must be what is the theme of our weekend, I believe, as I look into these passages of Ephesians 5 and 6. I'm sure you saw, as I did, the tragedy of an evangelist being taken off to jail. A tragedy of a man of God revealed to be in gross sin. Horrendous, isn't it? In my own church, this last week, we have had to face the rebuke of the hypocrisy of a man who had been our trusted accountant for many years, this week, was charged with a three-year jail sentence because of his dishonesty in money matters. Horrendous, unspeakable, unthinkable. We also have to face the reproach, my sisters, of so many of those that we know and their children and so many of our society who have moved totally away from our Judeo-Christian base and our Christian heritage as Australians and moved not only into strong anti-God attitudes but in fact have reached out and embraced Eastern religions. And that is a reproach to us that they haven't reached out for the God of the Bible. I think of one of my daughter's dearest friends who visited us recently at home from her ashram in India. And it haunts me, her face, as she talks glowingly of the life in the ashram. Her family, her mother died, and it was the tragedy of her mother's death and the great disturbance that she was in that someone said, "Why don't you go to yoga and learn how to relax?" And there she has found the peace that she longed for. And today she's given her life. She's a top educated girl, finished her education in universities in Paris. I don't know what languages she doesn't speak. She does had ran her own research business. And there she in doing research for publishing and things like that. And there she is in an ashram in India. That is her approach to you and me. And then, my dear sisters, there is the shame of our own lives that do not measure up to the words we speak. Is not that so? And I believe that the message of this moment for you and me is, women of God, be what you are. Be like Jesus. And I do believe that it's time for us to be real, to be fair dinkum, and to begin to live what we say. We live in desperate times as far as the moral and spiritual health of not only our nation, which is something out there, but those that are close at hand are affected also. And this is the message of these two chapters of Ephesians that are before us. Chapters 5 and 6, right at the end, when first I looked at it, I thought, why did they choose to just start there? It seems such a strange place to start. But we need to clean up our lives. We need to be like Jesus. And the passage that we are looking at this morning is Ephesians 5, 1 to 20. You know, Paul wrote the book of Ephesians, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time going into the background. I do not think it's appropriate or necessary at this point. But he wrote this in prison as he faced the death sentence. And there he was in prison reflecting on what it was to be a Christian and what had been given to us in the glory of the gospel. And he wrote this circular letter that Tychicus took around from one church to another, it seems. And in this we find Paul pouring out his heart as he reviews so many aspects of the Christian life. He is overwhelmed with the magnificence of the plan of God to gather all things in history up into Jesus and under Jesus, and to use the church in that whole process. And in this he shares from the very depths of his heart all of the joys and that he has found and all the radiant hope that he has in Jesus. And in the midst of it all, he gives them some very, very straight talk straight talk about the way that they are to live in the light of all of these glorious truths. And these are the truths that we are confronted with here. These two chapters come in a section that really begins in chapter 4. You know the pattern in so many of Paul's letters is to start with a proclamation and a declaration of truth, and then from that basis of truth to say, therefore, live like this. Well, we're in the therefore, live like this patch in this book. And he begins this patch in chapter 4 where he starts off, live a life worthy of your calling. And chapter 4, it'd be good for you to read that if you have a moment this weekend, because that is the sort of introductory verses leading up to what we're speaking about today. And as he continues these instructions, we begin at the first couple of verses here in chapter 5. He makes this dramatic statement. In fact, I could almost say it and sit down and say, just think about that and the implications of it in your life for the next hour. And I'd have said enough. and you'd have plenty to hear from God, and so would I. He starts, be imitators of God. Be like Jesus. Live in such a way as shows that you belong to him. Listen to this verse. Be imitators of God. Therefore, as dearly beloved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. He's saying to you and I, live a fragrant life. What sort of fragrance surrounds your life and mine? When we leave the room, what kind of aroma is left because of the way we've behaved, the way we've acted, the way we've reacted, the way we've spoken? Is there a fragrance about our lives? Sobering question, isn't it? Paul's saying here, Jesus' life was one absolutely filled with love and sacrifice. And that life of love and sacrifice was not only a sweet aroma to God, but a sweet aroma to all of those around him. Oh, my sisters. The aroma of that life is right down the centuries, isn't it? Even people who totally reject his deity speak of the quality of the life of Jesus, don't they? Even those that would never call him Lord say he was a good man and quote things that he said, sometimes, of course, not even realizing whom they're quoting. My dear sisters, we need to live like that. What sort of aroma was left in the house when you dashed out to the camp? What sort of aroma does your life have at work? In the privacy of your bedroom with your husband? With your children, your neighbours, your in-laws, the people that you do, where you do your shopping, you know, the person that was driving behind you, or maybe in front of you, who knows? My dear sisters, we need to be like Jesus. We need to have fragrant lives. Let's go on. Verses 3 to 14. I forgot to ask what time I'd have to stop. Tell me. Or just tug my skirt like Grace Collins used to use. Let's read verses 3 to 14. Just quickly to get our minds around what we're studying today. I'm not sure whether you were all aware that this was what we were studying. This is pretty straight talk. But among you, there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality or of any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk or coarse joking which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. For of this you can be sure, no immoral, impure or greedy person, such a man as an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Pretty straight, isn't it? Let no one deceive you with empty words, For because of such things, God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Therefore, do not be partners with them. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light. For the fruit of light consists in all goodness, righteousness and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitful deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything is exposed by the light. Everything exposed by the light becomes visible. For it is light that makes everything visible. That is why it is said, "Wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." My dear sisters, live shining lives. Light replaces darkness. You know, when I was preparing this, I don't claim to have visions, but as I thought about it, I could just see in my mind's eye a very strong picture. As I thought about particularly verse 8 here, listen to what it says again. "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of the light." I could just see the Lord in all his radiance and purity and holiness, just that shining light that is just so beautiful and just draws you to it. And I could see him there in the midst of a world of darkness. And there were you and I in the dark, just groping blindly. Have you ever felt like that? I know there was a time in my life when I did. And as we groped blindly in the dark, his hand reached out and took my hand. And as I responded to that and drew closer to him, my whole being was flooded with the same light. That's what happens, isn't it? Isn't that what happened when you came to Jesus? Groping in the darkness. Life hopeless, meaningless, full of despair, guilt, shame, all of the things that filled our hearts. And as we let Jesus take our hand, as we put our hands in his, the light that is in him, the same light as is in him, floods our hearts. And all the darkness is exposed and then dispelled as his light floods through us. Have you experienced that? Or are you still groping in the dark today? My dear sister, reach out and take hold of him and let his light flow through you. You see, we're children of light. Isn't that glorious? Just as you think of Jesus in all his glory, that shining whiteness of light and holiness and love and purity and all of those things, my dear sister, so are you. Because he lives in you. No wonder Paul bursts into song. Because many people think that what he's quoting here is a song that they used to sing in the early church. "Wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Glory, hallelujah. Come on, let's shine like him." My dear sisters, do it now in your heart. Right now in your heart, take time to reach out. In all the darkness and heaviness and heartache and fears and guilt and pain and the weariness of life that's in your heart today. Take time in your heart right now. His hand is reaching out to you. Put your hand in His and let His light flow through you. And as the darkness in you is exposed to Him, let Him heal and cleanse and deliver, and let His light flood your soul. My dear sisters, we're children of light. Let's live shining lives. We can be like Jesus. That's what the provision is. His life for mine. I can't. I get so weighed down with the weariness of it all and the continual problems and the heartaches and the disappointments and the disillusionments. But you see, He has given His life and He has risen from the dead, and His life is available for me. I no longer live, it's Christ that lives in me. This is what it's about, an exchanging life. Exchanging the darkness and heaviness of your own life for His light. Let His light flow through you right now. As you sit in His presence, be still and know that He is God. Let us live shining lives, lives of light. Let's be like Jesus. Another aspect of this living shining lives is that we must reject darkness. There must be that act of will where we choose to come to Him and expose our sin and choose to turn from it. Flee from sin and hold fast to that which is good. There must be that exercise of our will in that direction. Otherwise His light cannot flow, cannot shine. He says to us here, you are God's holy people. You are saints set apart for Him, consecrated to God, filled with His love, with His presence. So there is to be no sexual immorality. You know what that means in your life. I know what that means in my life. We are all mature adults. And no matter how much you are compromising or rationalizing or enjoying on the side things that are not of God, my dear sisters, the Word of God says straight and plain, no sexual immorality. Have done with it. In the society in which we live, and the pollution, the moral pollution of the age in which we live, a company of this many people, there will be at least one person for whom this is a very clear and direct message from God. Because you see, Christian women commit adultery. Christian women commit fornication. Christian women are involved in homosexual acts. Christian women are involved in obscene talk and coarse jesting. It's true. It's time to reject the darkness. It's time to live shining lives like Jesus. You see, this is real stuff. It's not just let's go away and have a happy little time together. This is serious business. I just feel the pressure of that on my own heart. Paul says, no impurity. All the impulses and desires that there are within us are to be controlled and directed towards God's standards. full stop. No greed, selfish indulgence at the expense of others. My dear sisters, don't be lured away by the people that are still in the dark. Don't let them claw at you and clutch at you and drain the light out of you till you slip back into that darkness again. Is a momentary pleasure worth it? In the end? Is it worth eternity? Is it worth breaking the heart of the lover of your soul? The one who's going to be constant and faithful forever? No, it isn't. My dear sisters, live shining lives. Reject the darkness. Have done with it. And we see here again, in verse 13 here, that everything is exposed by the light and it becomes visible. For it is the light that makes everything visible. You know, there's a sense in which, and this is the third aspect, I believe, that there is here of living a shining life, is that a life of light brings light to others. There's an effect on those around us of living a shining life. It isn't like the Gestapo or the secret police or something going around with a searchlight and poking and prodding and all of that. It's just that automatic result of light shining. There's a sense in which you hardly need to say anything. What you are will speak it. It's like if you know, I was thinking of these lovely flannel flowers. And I know when I've been in that cottage over here and you look out at the flannel flowers blooming in the bush there, no matter how scruffy the bush is, you know, all the sticks and all the untidiness and where somebody's thrown a can or something, you know, there is that flower in all its beauty. And its beauty, because it is so fresh and beautiful, shows up the other for what it is. And as you shine for Jesus, people will be drawn to him. This is really the key to evangelism in the end, isn't it? You and I shining forth. And others are drawn to us and they want what we have because they see Jesus shining in us. My dear sisters, live shining lives. Be like Jesus. Now let's look at the end of this passage. From verses 15 to 20. Be very careful then how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise. Making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to the Lord. To God, the Father for everything, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. My dear sisters, be like Jesus. Live a wise life. Be wise about the way you live. The picture that's painted here is such a joyous picture, isn't it? Someone so full of the joy of God that when they open their mouth to speak, it's with psalms and joyous songs and thanksgiving and I think, oh boy, to have friends like that. when you get together with them, they're just full of praise for the Lord and just full of the joy of living. And, you know, here is this comparison, isn't there, with drunkenness. And sometimes when people are drunk, they are happy. Outrageously so. Laugh at the smallest thing. I know there's a horrible side of drunkenness, but there's also that other side. And people are free to express themselves, and things that they normally wouldn't say and do, they'll do. And just a gaiety about it all. There can be. But Paul is saying here, look, there's something a bit like that, that I long to see in your lives. But it isn't from wine, because that does end up in debauchery and all those other things that are degrading and depraving and that just rob a human being of its dignity. And we have to be very careful in these days of a less strong attitude towards drinking alcohol amongst Christian circles. Too many go over the line. I personally come from a background of a church where total abstinence was taught when I was a child. The same church no longer advocates total abstinence. But I can remember as a school child knowing a family where there was just such pain and tragedy because of alcohol. A family that had to hide, and the grandmother used to take the kids in Brisbane near where I lived and hide down on the riverbank when Dad came home drunk because of the beating and the cruelty. And I determined then that I would never, ever, ever have anything to do with alcohol. And, I mean, no big deal. That was what I determined before God. And through all the years in mixing with people in top management in this country and around the world, the Lord has honoured me in that. And I would always strongly encourage total abstinence. But I know that isn't everybody's way. But we do have to be careful. If that isn't your way, it's very easy to go too far. It's much simpler to not have any, I figure. Maybe I'm a coward. But it's much simpler to not have any. But Paul is saying, look, I long for you to know what it is to be controlled by God's Spirit. To be so full of Him that you're freed from yourself, to be all that God made you to be. I long for you to know the joy of the Lord filling and overflowing your heart. I long for you to be sensitive to the moving of God's Spirit so that you're moving in His will. I long for you to so know God's power and presence in your life that you're alert to the evil in the world around you and you're immediately sensitized to it so that there's no risk of you being polluted by it and being drawn into it. That's what He said, look, be careful. The days are evil. So be careful to do what the right thing is. And the key to it is to be filled with His Spirit, to keep on being filled. My dear sister, have you run dry? Are you doing things on automatic? Is it hard for you to sing some of these songs with reality? Because there isn't really that joy, joy, joy deep down in your heart. Are you struggling to live this life by your own resources and finding it pretty heavy going sometimes? In fact, if you're honest, most of the time. Then have a good look at these verses. It doesn't have to be like that. Don't be foolish. Be wise. Be filled with His Spirit. Yield to Him. Say, God, I've had controlling my own life. I just yield my life to you. Lord, I'm empty. Lord, come now and fill me to overflowing afresh with your Spirit. Oh, what a beautiful picture Jesus gave us. He said, it'll be like a spring of living water bubbling up within you. You know how lovely it is to see a fresh stream up in a mountain near the spring, you know, and it's bubbling and gurgling and dancing in the sunlight. Oh, God says, that's what I want your life in me to be like. Full and bubbling over with the joy that comes from a relationship with God. It isn't something that you can put on yourself. It's got to be something that comes from within as a result of that relationship with Him. So if you've run dry, my dear sister, be wise. Come into His presence. Renew your relationship with Him. Yield to Him and ask Him to come and fill you with Himself and stay there till the life of God starts bubbling within you and you find your own lips singing praise and thanksgiving and spiritual songs and psalms, and that there is that humility in your heart before God and men. That's what it is to be a Christian. That's what it should be. That's the possibility. Live a wise life, filled and controlled by His Spirit. My dear sisters, be like Jesus. He was full of the Holy Ghost. My dear sisters, live a fragrant life, abandoned in love and sacrifice as Jesus' life was. My dear sisters, live a shining life, a life lived in the light, a life of light that rejects the darkness and that draws others to Jesus. My dear sisters, live a wise life that is filled and controlled with His Spirit. Is your life like that? At a weekend like this, there's time. There's time to take time. See, it doesn't matter if God's speaking. If you don't have morning tea, it doesn't even matter if you don't get to a session. What matters is that you hear and respond to what God is saying. Are there some kind of stenches in your life that you need to get rid of? Is there something you need to do this morning for your life to become fragrant? Then don't put it off. Do it now. Do you need to reach out and put your hand into that hand of light and let that light flow through you, maybe for the first time? Maybe. It needs renewing, that relationship with Him. My dear sisters, let that light flow. Let God's Spirit flow and do what He wants to do in our midst. Sometimes I get home from a meeting and I think, Lord, I'm sure you wanted to do something, but I didn't even give people time for it to happen. Or as soon as it was over, we had to have lunch and it was sort of more important. And I determined before God not to do that this weekend. My dear sisters, are you living a foolish life? And you need to live a wise one and let His Spirit fill you afresh? Do it now. There will be never a moment like this again. If God is speaking, let's act. He is here. Our glorious Saviour, with all the blessings of heaven, the unsearchable riches. My God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory. He is here, waiting for us to reach out empty hands and admit our need. And he is committed to us in love. He has promised to stand by us. No matter what, through all eternity, he is committed to us and longs to take our cares, longs to break the chains, longs to give sight to our eyes, longs to heal our broken hearts, longs to forgive our sin, longs to break the power of sin over us. He just waits for us to reach out. Longs to lift our weariness and fill us with his life. Let's take time now to do it. My dear sisters, let's be like Jesus. Let's live fragrant, shining lives, lived in wisdom. And the beginning of the wisdom is the fear of the Lord. And to live in fear of the Lord is to be available to him and filled with his Spirit so that we can live the way he wants us to live.